Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at some of the interactions that Jesus had with people when he was on the earth. And the thing about Jesus, as we read these accounts today, is the Bible makes it very clear is that he is the same. He's the same. And so the God who is revealed in Jesus, that God is the same. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. And so what we see about him is not just for us to be inspired, but it's for us to have a similar relationship, a similar encounter with him. And there are some wonderful principles and things that Jesus noted and said as he interacted with people. In Mark chapter 5, when Jesus, this is verse 21, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now we're going to kind of just put a pause there. There's another encounter that Jesus has with a woman who had a flow of blood in her body, and we're actually going to look at that here in a few minutes. But let's go to the kind of fast forward back to Jairus in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Now, what was the word that was spoken? "Your daughter is dead." All right, so Jesus was going with the Father to bring remedy, solution to the problem. And then the problem got worse. Have you ever discovered that in life? Sometimes the problem gets worse. Obviously, this one got beyond worse. She had died. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Do not be afraid, only believe. We want to look today and next week as well about that trusting Jesus, faith, is an invitation from Jesus to us. As Jesus spoke to Jairus, he didn't speak to the crowd, but he spoke to him. He said, "Fear not, only believe." Have you discovered in life that if we're not trusting Jesus, the typical alternative response is fear, isn't it? All right. Someone said that fear is basically a perverted form of faith. Fear is about the future. You haven't seen it yet, but you believe something about the future that hasn't happened. And so we're fearful because of what we think is going to happen or what the signs point to. And so our response sometimes is fear or dread about the future. And you can kind of just think about this. If there are any months, if there are any events that are coming up in your life or into the future, and your response is not a rest and an assurance towards God, that means that there's some element of fear there, isn't it? All right, I'm doing a master's coursework right now, and in 1 month's time, I've got 2 papers due, 17 pages and 18 pages. Today, I'm not yet in faith. All right, maybe I'm in denial. Okay. So, but we kind of know our hearts, don't we? And we can sense that. And so what I think also happens sometimes is if we're not in fear about something in the future, then sometimes what we do is we're very industrious. I can fix this. We go into human effort to try to remedy the situation. So when God told Abraham, "I'm going to give you a son, and through your son..." And he's married, so the son's going to come through his wife, because that's how God set it up. Amen. Amen. All right. If you don't have a son, you trust God like Abraham. Or a daughter. And you're married. You don't get a side chick. Amen. Hashtag no Hagar. Amen. Hashtag delete Hagar from your phone. All right. So in that situation, Abraham and Sarah couldn't see the solution of God. They couldn't see the promise fulfilled. So they say, hey, God, you know what? We're not really in fear about this. We'll just handle this. We'll take care of this in our way and in our doing. And how many of you know they created a huge mess? Okay, because they tried to do what only God could do. Okay, so Jesus said, fear not, only believe. God doesn't give you 500 things to do. Trust him, believe him, and even when it looks worse, continue to trust him. When we see this about the woman with the issue of blood, one of the things that we note about her story that the Bible says is that she had spent all the money she had because she had gone to all the doctors she knew. Isn't it great that we have doctors that are better than the doctors that lived during Jesus' age? All right? And so we can, scripture endorses medical science and the benefits that we can get from that. Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Not for romance sake, for your stomach's sake. Amen? So he said, take some medicine, it'll help you, all right? But she could not find a solution with what man could do. And I think we will all face situations in our life, folks, where man does not have the answer. Human capacity is simply not there to solve the problem, all right? Pastor Haley was speaking a few weeks ago that when Moses was on Mount Sinai with Joshua, right? What did the people do? They wanted to worship something they could see, so they made a god for themselves, all right? And they brought the gold to Aaron, and he made a calf, right? Not what Aaron said. Well, just this calf just kind of showed up. It just popped out, you know? No, he made it. And so there's a lot of temptation in life that we want to handcraft the solution. All right. But God has an answer through his word and through his power. So trusting God, believing God, is a response to who God is and to what he says. Look at 1 John 4:19. This is about another response that happens to us. We love him because you just woke up one morning and decided to love Jesus? No. You love him because he first loved me. He loved us. Amen. Everybody say first. Okay, so our love for God is a response, all right? And so is our trust. And so is our faith. It is a response. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? By the word of God. All right. So faith is the natural response to a God that you know loves you. And that you know is faithful to do what he says. All right. I think hopefully you have some relationships on the earth that there are people that you know they love you and you know that they're faithful to their word. All right. So what do? You trust those people. All right. And I'm blessed to have those kind of people in my life, starting with my wife. She loves me and she does what she says towards me. Amen. All right, so what's my response? Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman, that the heart of her husband safely trusts her. All right, so when you know someone loves you, when you know they're good with their word, you can trust them. All right, and God is both, isn't he? All right, so people in the Bible, in these encounters that people had with Jesus, typically it was one or either or both. That they trusted in the character of Jesus, all right? And when we speak of character, what is character? Character is what you can know about someone based on what they do. All right? How many of you can't put character on a business card? Man of integrity and honesty. Well, looks good on your logo, but let's see. All right, let's do business for the next 5 years and see how that works out. All right, then we'll know something about your character. So we can trust, people trusted in the character of Jesus based on what they knew about his actions and his activities, or they believed him based on what he said, based on his promises. And folks, God wants us to accept this invitation from Jesus today and for the rest of our life to trust him based on who he is and based on what he has said. Amen. Now, there's a wonderful hymn. Probably some of us sang this when we were younger, and it's a great, I think we've sang it here a couple times. But it speaks about both of these aspects of why we trust Jesus. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word. That's what he says, right? Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Amen? Just to trust him. For grace to trust him more. The next verse says, I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, and he will be with me till the end. Now, what does that speak about? His character. He's a friend. He's a savior. He's with me. Amen? Oh, friend, I don't know how much and how often you trust Jesus, but there's a whole lot of people in this room could tell you it is sweet. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. It is sweet to trust him when the sun is out, and it is sweet to trust him on the worst day of your life, to trust in Jesus. Amen? So let's look at an encounter that Jesus had of someone who trusted him based on his character. All right? And this was the part of Mark that we took out of Jairus' story. Mark 5, this woman who had this problem in her body for many, many years. Mark 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many of you know that's not just a couple months? Okay. It is now something that is simply a part of her life. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. But verse 27 is where the whole deal changes. When she heard about Jesus, she heard something about Jesus that caused her to leave her home. It caused her to do something quite radical that we'll see in this story. She heard about Jesus. She came from behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, everybody say, she said. If you believe something, you need to say it. Well, Pastor, my faith is more of a private faith. No, it is an ineffective, non-working faith. Faith has a voice. Amen. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So she touched him. Immediately, the fountain of blood was dried up. And she felt, everybody say, she says she felt. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So something happened to her. She felt something. All right? You know, another song, oh, he touched me, amen? And made me whole. All right? Now, she felt something. But here's an amazing part of this encounter with Jesus. Jesus felt something. All right, he didn't need to be healed, but he felt something. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Why did Jesus ask the question? This is not a trick question. He asked the question because he didn't know the answer to the question. Amen. He didn't know. Amen. This is an amazing encounter. And there were times in the ministry of Jesus, not the majority, all right, where Jesus initiated miracles. But the far majority of the miracles of Jesus' ministry were initiated by the recipient. Why? Because they knew something about him. Blind Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, son of David." That's Messiah talk. That's the one who will break the bonds. That's the healer of Israel. Ooh, I know who this one is. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus wasn't even planning on talking to Bartimaeus that day. And Jesus stood still. Why? Because someone called about his mercy. Hallelujah. And he was healed that same day as well. So he turned around and said, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "A lot of people, Jesus." You know what I love? One of the things I love about the Gospels is that the disciples got the questions wrong so many times. It gives me such hope for my life. Because Peter ended up doing some pretty awesome things. All of them did the will of God for their life. We've got people in this church called Thomas, because doubting Thomas became believing Thomas and went to India. All right? So you may have a bad start, but you can finish strong. You can figure it out and eventually. So they said, "Jesus, well, lots of people touched me or touched you, you know." And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing them, trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, Romans 10 says real clearly, right? Faith comes, doesn't it? It comes from hearing the word of God. What did she hear? She heard about Jesus. So I want to, we can't do this in this sermon, but I want you to be so careful for the rest of your life about what you hear about Jesus. All right? And if some silly news organization wants to tell me that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and moved to Turkey and had kids, turn the channel. Amen. Watch something edifying like football. My team is still playing. I won't tell you who that is. All right. All right. Usually they don't by now. Okay, so she heard about Jesus. From where? Obviously something. She had heard the activity of what was happening, about what Jesus was doing, and she believed something about him. Amen. And folks, we have the privilege, more than this woman, we know so much more about Jesus. So much more about Jesus. We have the Gospels, the literal firsthand accounts that John, you know, when he was writing his account, he said, you know, "We beheld his glory. We beheld his glory." And I'm going to write it down so that people in Lusaka in 2018 can know what I saw. A firsthand account of seeing Jesus, of interacting with Jesus. The epistles give us, in a sense, an explanation of what Jesus did in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The entire Old Testament, Jesus says this, the scriptures, the Old Testament, they speak of me. They speak of me. And so when you read Psalms, when you read Deuteronomy, you gotta be looking for Jesus. Amen. So she heard about Jesus and she came. Look at Mark chapter 1. If God ever calls you to be an evangelist and you forget your Bible, just have a copy of the book of Mark. And you can be an awesome evangelist from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, because it focuses kind of on the activities of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now some of you may know that this is already a big deal, because a leper in Jewish day, had to live away from the people. Their condition could be contagious. And if they did come near, they had to announce that they were coming and proclaim that they had, so people could get out of the way. So this leper, even having an encounter with Jesus, is risky, okay? So he comes to Jesus, he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, we need to examine and be honest. We have this one recorded. We need to examine in our heart where we get our if. Where do we get our if when it comes to Jesus, about him helping us? Jesus, I know you can help this situation. If you don't remember about my last 20 years of really doing dumb things. If, because there's a seed of the if, isn't there? All right? And so he hadn't had this, hadn't overcome it yet. All right? "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing." So what he was wondering about Jesus clarified, didn't he? All right? And friend, now, if you are coming to Jesus within the realm of his promises, within the realm of his character, all right, there doesn't need to be an if. Okay? Now, if you got your prayer request from First Imaginations, all right? And it's all about your own selfishness and strength. So aren't you glad God doesn't answer unscriptural prayer requests? So glad, all right? All these people that are calling fire on their enemies, no one has ever caught fire. If they did, we would arrest you. Amen. No one catches fire. If you know of a combustible witch, come and see me after church, okay? You can clarify that for me. All right. But God doesn't answer unscriptural prayers. All right. So Jesus said, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. All right. So it seems like this man was not necessarily, his if was not about the power of Jesus, because he said, "Boy, if you're willing, you can do this. You can do this for me. But I don't know if you're willing." Jesus clarified the willingness. Listen to it from the Message Bible. A leper came to him, begging on his knees, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Deeply moved. Deeply moved with what? Deeply moved with want to, with compassion. Jesus put out his hand and touched him and says, "I want to. I want to." Whatever you're facing today, and if your solution is in the redemptive plan of God from his promises in his word, Jesus for all time says to you today, "I want to." Now, I know there are people on the earth that don't want to. We get that. But Jesus has never said that to you. "I want to be cleansed." The J.B. Phillips, which was kind of the Message Bible of 60 years ago, J.B. Phillips translated it this way. Jesus said, because it's so strong in the Greek, "Of course I want to. Of course I want to." All right, so when you see the promises of God, when you see the character of God as revealed by Jesus from his word, amen. He is the Lord who heals you. Please don't make "I am" into an "I was." He cannot cease being who he is. All right? I want to. So what promise from his word, what part of his character do you need involved in your life today? There is a desire, there is a motivation in the heart of Jesus to do that for you. Of course I want to. Amen? So these individuals came to Jesus and there was an encounter and there was something that they knew about, or they discovered about his character, about who he is and what he had done. Also, there were people who believed the words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. So this is a non-Jew. All right, this is someone who is not in the covenant of Israel. Jesus said in his mission for his earthly ministry was to the lost sheep of Israel. All right, he was giving them a chance to accept him as Messiah, and that was that they were given that chance to do that, and many rejected him. All right, a few believed him, and so here's someone that finds something about Jesus who's not even, he's in the region, but he's not even in a sense part of Jesus' intended audience. Okay. This is a bystander. Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Now, why did Jesus say that? Because that's what he does. All right? That is consistent with Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. That is consistent with his mission, that when he came and he went to the cross, he bore our sicknesses and he carried our diseases, Isaiah 53 tells us. All right? It was part of his mission. It's part of his character. So it was. This is not a surprise that he would say, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." So what was he saying? That I understand authority. I'm under authority. I have people under me. And a word is enough to get the job done. A word will initiate activity. And if you say it, it's going to happen. So he was recognizing the authority of King Jesus. Hallelujah. He realized who he was. All right. Then Jesus heard it and marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Like, not even in the people who are supposed to have great faith. The grandkids of the people in Hebrews 11 who had great faith. That family. Amen. Now, it is very interesting in the Bible that Jesus only marveled at two things. All right. Now, obviously, he really wouldn't marvel at the Sea of Galilee. We went there a couple years ago. It's really beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. Jesus didn't marvel at it. It's like, I made it, you know. Yes, right? He didn't marvel because he was aware of so many things, right? He marveled at this man's faith. And another group, he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled. He scratched his head. He got his head. Whoa, that's something else. Amen. Just ask yourself a question. If Jesus was to marvel about your life, would he be marveling about your great faith? Or would he be marveling that you've been at Miracle Life for 10 years? Yeah. Okay. Hopefully not the second one, right? Okay. So, Jesus was amazed. This is great faith. This is awesome. He said, I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In a sense, there'll be people that'll miss it. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it unto you. As you have believed. Okay, so as he has believed is based on what? Yes, it's based on faith, but where? What did he believe? His wish? No. He believed the words of Jesus. Dr. Henry Cloud said this. It was really, really helpful. And I've just seen this kind of in my own life and as I interact with people, is that sometimes our faith is not based on the word of God. It's based on a wish. Huh? 2018 is my breakthrough year. Says who? Prophet Doodad. Well, it's not in the Bible. Right? Let's be honest, folks. God doesn't have enough time in 2018 to renew some of our minds. Please, help me. Come on, you're just... I know I've been gone a little while, but it's me. All right? Okay? What do we believe? What do we believe? What do we believe? Amen. Well, I'm going to marry a husband with a Land Rover. Based on what? You cannot have biblical faith outside of the revealed written word of God. You cannot have biblical faith outside of the revealed biblical written word of God. Amen. Now here's the wonderful thing. There's so many promises. There's so many indicators of what God will do. All right? So we don't have a shortage of places to trust him. Amen? All right. So he believed, Jesus said, wow, this is amazing. He said, speak the word only. So I want to ask you a question. Do you know what Jesus has said? Do you know what God has said? One of the devil's greatest schemes in church history was to keep the Bible from people. All right. So there was a time in church history where church leaders felt like the Bible in vernacular is dangerous. What will they do? They'll believe God. And they'll see if the guy on the pulpit is actually preaching the right stuff or not. All right. So they kept the Bible. Wycliffe, who began to translate the Bible, how many of you know he was burned at the stake? So the fact that you and I have the Bible... And is Reuben here today, Reuben? But Reuben, how many languages in Zambia are written in the Bible? How many? 10. And you guys are working on another 3, right? 3. All right. So isn't it amazing that in 2018, and it's happening quicker and quicker and quicker, people all over the world can read the Bible in their mother tongue. Reuben sent a video this week of someone in Tanzania, this preacher in the market in this little village in Tanzania. And he's got, for the very, very first time, he's got a vernacular Bible preaching to the people from the word of God that they know. Amen. And guess what? You help do that. Amen. If you give. If you didn't, you didn't help at all. So, right? Let's be honest. Okay. Keeping it real. All right. So, do you know what God has said? There is no excuse for biblical ignorance. Get a Bible. Read it. You can get it on your phone. And I know it's not fun to be stuck in traffic, but get the Bible on your phone. And when you're stuck in traffic, Psalm 103, bless the Lord. O my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. And just read the Bible. Get it in your heart. Know what God says. The more you know the Bible, the less you will be susceptible to deception. And I know we get mad at the prophet that sprays doom in South Africa and the prophet that makes people eat grass and all that kind of stuff. And it's really bad, right? But those are biblically illiterate people. And all they have to do is read the Bible to realize, excuse me, Mr. Prophet, why do I need to eat grass? I don't see it. Don't see it at all. Yeah. Right? Amen. So keep yourself safe. Know what God says. But then that becomes the basis for all of our trust. I trust him because he said it. I trust him because he promised that to me. Amen. I trust him because of what he has revealed in his written word. Now, let's be honest. We'd have to agree that there are some things that he has decided in his sovereignty not to reveal, right? So what's the name of the false prophet and the Antichrist? Not there. All right. Brother Hagin said this years ago. He said, I stopped trying to predict the Antichrist when they kept dying. All my Antichrists kept dying, you know? So he said, I just gave up trying to figure out who the Antichrist was. All right. So God knew that we didn't need to know that, right? So he didn't put it in his word. But my goodness, there's so much that he has, isn't there? So let's stay with what he has said and let's trust him. Let's look at the testimony of John. The testimony of John. John 1, 16. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. New Living Translation says, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Here's an eyewitness. Here's somebody that walked with Jesus. For John, that same scripture, let me read it for the Message Bible. We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. So if John says, we've received from his abundance, we've received from his grace, then that means you and I need to understand what's in his abundance. What's in his character? What are in his promises? Amen? Well, but Pastor, what about Aunt Matilda? Here's the thing. I don't know about Aunt Matilda. And maybe it was really sad about Aunt Matilda. You know what? She probably was holier than you or I. But I don't base my faith on Aunt Matilda. I base my faith on the written word of God. Amen. What God has chosen to reveal. Amen. So from Jesus, from his abundance, received from him. So grace, gracious blessing, generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. All right. So then it becomes our responsibility to know what's in the abundance. What does he have to give? All right. What did he do in the Gospels? What did he pour out? What did he give in the Gospels? Because he's the same today. What does the New Testament speak of in the epistles of what is given to the heirs of salvation, the body of Christ, the sons and daughters of God? Amen? So, faith, trusting God, is simply our hand that receives what God has already, what? Generously provided. Okay? Our faith does not change God. It does not manipulate God. How many of you know God really can't be manipulated? Like, at all. I love some of the what God said about some of the rulers of the age in those days, you know, that didn't know him. And he would just laugh. The Bible says he would just sit in heaven and he'd laugh. All right. When Aaron and Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, you know, my God, our God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is this God? I don't know your God. Well, guess what? After the 10 plagues, introduction, Yahweh, right? It's exactly what God did. It's exactly what he did. Oh, you want to know who I am? Here you go. Watch this. And he saw the hand of God. And he saw the deliverance of God. Amen? So, faith in no way manipulates God or changes God. It also doesn't pry from God's cruel grip what he's trying to give. Amen? And so, you know, faith, that's why the Hebrews talks about faith is a rest. There's a peace to it. Why? Because I know God is good. Amen. One of the leaders in our youth ministry, Kemma and his wife, they've had a baby recently, and Kemma was testifying in staff meeting that his little baby just sleeps so peacefully and never asks about the bills that are coming due this week because all of his needs are provided by his good dad and his good mom. And so he just sleeps. Amen. So we can trust him. And we know he's a better father. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Freely we've received. You see, faith is not a currency that we buy the blessings of God. The blood of Jesus paid for the blessings of God. Amen. The blood of Jesus made us redeemable and transformed us. And so faith simply receives what God is already willing to do and willing to give. Now, let me read this, and we'll read this probably next month again. But this is David in 1 Chronicles 29 when they were receiving an offering for the temple. And I hear that's happening around here soon. So I've heard. Okay. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. So people have given, and David is just praising God. He's just amazed. And he says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. If it's his, that means it's not yours, right? All that is in heaven and all that is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? Listen, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. So David was recognizing that God, what we've done and we've given to you, it came from you. And what we're giving you actually is yours. It all came from you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know, our pride and our ego, we like to take credit as a self-made man. You're a self-made nothing. Nothing. Who gave you the brain? Who gave you the favor? Who's done everything in your life? God. So everything that we have to give first came from us. All right. So a part of receiving grace is that we stop clutching on to what we're holding on to. How many of you can't really receive something if you've got with two fists? You've got to open up your hands. And so sometimes we've got to let go of our pride or our ego. Maybe we need to let go of, like Abraham and Sarah, trying to do it ourselves. Maybe we need to let go of things like unforgiveness and bitterness. We need to let go of those things. Jesus said that actually affects your faith, didn't he, in Mark chapter 11. And when you pray, forgive. Oh, I just like the mountain moving thing. Yeah, that works. When you pray, forgive. Amen. So as we pray today, there may be some things that you realize, you know, I need to let, they're not supposed to be in my hands. I'm not supposed to be holding on to these things. And I need to let go of those. I need to drop those worries, those cares, so that I can receive of his generous bounty, of his blessing, of his grace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, that when you walked on the earth, you did good. You healed, you helped, you lifted. And Jesus, you showed us how we cooperate with you, how we trust you. And Jesus, I know that many of us in this room, there's been some tough parts of our life, very big disappointments of our life. And really, God, we haven't even figured out all of them. We don't even know kind of what happened or who did it. But God, today, we choose to trust you. We choose to trust you. We trust who you are, and we trust what you have said. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. If you're with your husband, your wife, if your spouse, just grab them by the hand right now. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. One of the greatest places of agreement is with your spouse. If they're not here, then see them this afternoon. Pray. Speak the things of God over your life. Maybe the things that have been keeping you up at night. Find the promises of God. Trust him together. If you're single, or maybe your spouse is not a believer, you and Jesus are a majority. The woman with the issue of blood, she came. Jairus came. And you can come today and trust him. And trust him. While we're praying right now, I just had in my heart, the Bible says this, that in Acts 10:38, Peter was preaching a sermon and he was summarizing the work of Jesus. Because he was there, he watched it. And he said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Healing all. Peter correlates the goodness of God with divine healing. The greatest song in the Old Testament was this: for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. If he's still good, he's still healing, because it's literally part of his nature. And if you're in this place today and you're suffering from sickness or disease, you are, it's in your body. I want you to stand to your feet. If you're ready to receive of the Lord's goodness, just stand to your feet right now. God wants to administer his goodness. Rachel sang a song, God, reveal yourself. He's about to right now. He wants to reveal his goodness to you. He wants to reveal his goodness to you. Now, those of you that are standing, I want you just stretch out your hands to God, or just put your hands open to God right now. Faith has an open hand towards God. Now, here's what I'm asking all of you. If you're not standing, all right, and especially our care team on the front row, if Jesus has ever healed you at any time, I want you to go find someone that's standing. I want you to go find someone. I want you to put your hand on their shoulder. Quickly. You believe Jesus is the healer. You believe that blood speaks of better things. And one of those things is divine healing. Just put your hand on their shoulder right now. They are not alone. They're not alone. Everybody should have multiple people with hands on their shoulders. Multiple people. There needs to be one more for our sister right here in the black jacket. The sister right here in the black jacket. For those of you around her, you trust Jesus. You trust Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. Your hand is on their shoulder right now. Right now, release. Don't ask God. Release the power of God. The Bible says, heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Freely you've received, freely give. And so right now, just give the power of God. release the power of God into these bodies. Father, we thank you for healing and for a cure. Father, from mental issues, God, liver, kidneys, God, intestines, things of the bones, things of the muscles. God, if it's a disease, if it's an injury, God, maybe they don't even know what it is. But Father, right now, we thank you. Jesus is going about miracle life, doing good, healing all, healing all, healing all right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your power that is flowing into these bodies right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you are having hands laid on you right now, just say this with me. Say, Jesus, you're my healer. Your power has made me whole. I will live and not die, and I will declare your works. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing good in my body right now, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Oh, it is sweet. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's just keep praying right now. Just let God have his way. Let the power of God flow into these bodies in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. My sister right here in the black, right there, right there. Right here. Yeah, you. What just happened? I can tell something's happening in your body. What's happening in your body? Hands were laid upon you.
I kind of feel warm.
You feel warm.
Going down.
Amen. That's the love of God. That's the power of God. Amen. Healing is the children's bread. You're his child,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It's for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands. Let's worship him. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. For the Lord is good. Say that with me. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever towards me, towards my family. The mercy, the love, the power of God is directed towards me, directed towards my family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just love him right now. Let's just worship him right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. It's so sweet to trust you. You can have a seat. You can have a seat. With every head bowed, every eye closed. When Jesus was on the earth, he called people and he said, follow me. He called them by name. Many listened. We know of at least once when they did not, some who turned away and left. He gave them a chance to say yes or to say no. He told Nicodemus, a very, very pious religious person, he said, you must be born again. You'll never see the kingdom of heaven unless there's a change on the inside. You see, friend, going to church will not save you. It won't change you. Being baptized as a baby or as an adult, that doesn't change you. Being good doesn't change you. You need something. You need to be born from above. The new birth. The Bible calls it regeneration. And it's available to you because of what Jesus did. He died for you. For God so loved the world. You're part of that group. You're part of the world. And whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Friend, today you can have everlasting life. And that everlasting life can start today. A new life with Jesus. A new life in his family. And if you're not born again, today is your day. I know and I believe the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. He's convincing you. This is you. You need to make this decision. You need to miss hell. It wasn't created for you. Maybe you're backslidden far away from God and the Holy Spirit's tugging on you saying, come home, come home. Don't spend another day outside your Father's house. Come home to a God who will restore you, have mercy on you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be born again. I need to trust him. trust him with my whole life for salvation, or I need to come home from a place of sin and rebellion. Wherever you are, you can make a decision today. You can trust Jesus. He's given to every person here a measure of faith. Say yes to him today. Say yes to him today. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand, and we're going to pray a prayer together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hands are going up. Where are you? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Right here on the right here in the front. Thank you, sir. Anyone else on the sides, in the back? Anyone? God loves you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I should have, grab your Bible, your handbag, whatever you came to church with you. Come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together, and God will do what he said he'll do. He's going to make you a new person. He's going to wash and cleanse you. Just come quickly, quickly. Those of you that lifted up your hand, over here, over there, one over there. Can we give them a big hand as they're coming? Let's just cheer them on in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your boldness. You just face me. That's great. That's great. Oh, he loves us. He loves us. God bless you, sir. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Anyone else before we pray? Why don't you just lift up one of your hands towards heaven? Lift up one of your hands. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. Jesus is risen from the dead, and I follow him for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family now. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.